This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, greetings from the crazy house here in the United States of America. And we have a couple of guests in a less crazy house, I hope, in Canada, being, of course, our friendly co-hosts, J. Randall Murphy and Chris Witkowski, on short notice, as usual, joining us. Thanks again for putting up with the abuse, sir.
Glad to be here, Gene.
Wanted to bring up a couple of little things, and then we'll get into what's happening up north, and also about disclosure and all the crazy stuff. Now, as our listeners know, if you've been a long-time listener to the PowerCast, when somebody well-known in the field passes on, we do a special episode, kind of a roundtable discussion, and we did that with Jim Moseley when he died. We did that with John Keel when he died. We did that with a few people over the years. And when Stan Friedman died, I wrote to a couple of people that I shall not name, although you might get the connection in a moment. And I said, hey, let's do something for Stan. Now, understand I had known Stan Friedman for many years, since the 1970s probably. I didn't agree with him on everything. Not at all. Debated with him a few times about stuff like MJ-12. But he seemed to be decent about it. And then there's this piece that I know Chris has seen from Kevin Randall in a different perspective. And the point being here is that Stanton Friedman was highly competitive with his fellow authors, but not always in the most pleasant way. And I'll mention one example only because it involved my old friend Jim Moseley. And Jim, for some years, was a lecturer on UFOs. And let me tell you how he got the gig. He got the gig because he told the lecture bureau he was cheaper for a lecture, cost less money than Major Donald Kehoe. So if you couldn't afford Major Donald Kehoe, you got Jim Moseley. And then we learn in a letter that Jim had written to Kevin Randall that Stanton Friedman had talked to some of the places that Jim was doing lectures for and urging them not to do it. Why do we even have this in the field? I thought that the UFO field was above that, Chris. What do you think?
Well, I don't think the UFO field's above it. I mean, other people in the field are certainly probably guilty of similar things. I, too, go back in my relationship with Stan back into the 1970s. In fact, I'm trying to think whether it was 77, perhaps, when Stan first came up to Winnipeg. And to save money, he actually stayed at my home and got to know him initially through that. And then he came back up, I don't know how many times, a dozen or so times after that. And we had met at various conferences over the years as well. I knew that Stan and Kevin Randall had some bad blood. I didn't know all the details, and frankly, I didn't want to know all the details. I'd also heard similar things about Alan Hynek, that there was some bad blood between him and others, and that he wasn't the saint that everybody raised him up to be, and things like that. What I can say is that during the time that I knew Stan, I didn't witness anything like that. I knew he was very competitive. He was very aggressive in promoting himself. Part of that certainly is because that was the way he made a living. He had stopped being an in-the-lab physicist a long time previous to that, and going around the country lecturing and eking out a living that way was the only way that he supported his family. That was, you know, the obvious the reason he did that. In terms of promoting himself over others and demoting others, again, I don't know much of that. I do know that there had been some times, like I remember a MUFON conference in, I'm trying to think, maybe 2007, 2008. It was in Denver. And I'd been invited to speak, and both Stan and Kevin were speaking as well. There was a panel discussion. I was invited to be on with the two of them on stage, and I wasted no time in grabbing the two of them and having them pose with me in a photograph, knowing full well that they were shooting daggers at each other, because I wouldn't have any of that.
That is awesome.
My table in the Huckster room at the MUFON was right next to Kevin on one side, and Stan was on the other side of me.
So basically, you were playing interference here between the two.
I was the buffer, and I just wouldn't have any of that. I ignored the fact that this was going on at all. And at one point during that particular conference, the two of them, I did actually get the two of them talking, and I stayed out of it, and it did not result in fisticuffs. So I don't know exactly what went on, but he had his issues. He and I also disagreed. He was absolutely sure that we were talking about flying saucers from outer space, of course. And I told him, I don't see the evidence for that, Stan, but he, at the same time, would introduce me from, because I was, every time he was in Winnipeg, I would attend, and he would introduce me from the front, and after that, people would come up to me and share their UFO sightings with me. So, he was perfectly willing to not share the stage, but give credit where credit was due, although obviously in the case of Kevin and Jim, things went awry. We don't know the whole story. I don't know exactly what went on, but what I can say is, I personally didn't see any of that. And, nobody's a perfect saint. I'm not. I've said some things in the past about some people that I regret, and then I've clashed with some people who are quite prominent in ufology, and sometimes it's deserved and sometimes it was just one of those things.
I think that's an amazing story. There you are playing the Canadian diplomat. That is just perfect. Have you ever considered going into politics? Because, if you could keep the peace between those two.
I'm far too honest for that.
Okay, I'm not going to remark on anybody's honesty here. I will only say this. Again, I've never had any encounters with Stan Friedman that were less than favorable. And the same thing is true with Kevin Randall. The same thing is true with Jim Moseley. Although Jim Moseley had said some things in a snide fashion about me in Saucer Smear.
Oh, Saucer Smear was great for that, sure, yeah.
Sure. And I was responsible for helping him name and design the lettering for Saucer Smear when he kept releasing it under different names before he settled on Smear. All the individual letters in the word I had set up for him. Don't ask me to go into how I did that. It was very simple. It was done with an old CompuGraphic photo typesetting machine to which I had access. That's how I did it. But getting back to this point, I just was upset that hearing that Stan had called places where Jim was being paid to lecture and say, why have him? Now, it's one thing to be competitive to say, I'm cheaper than Major Donald Kehoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if he didn't do that aggressively, if he had his lecture agent sell Jim as a lower cost alternative, I suppose that's okay. But if you actively solicit yourself to say, don't hire this guy, hire me, maybe I'm feeling that's a little bit less decent of you. I don't know. Chris Rutkowski is joining us, and it's not going to be talking about Stan Friedman for the entire episode, so folks, don't expect it. That's not going to happen. J. Randall Murphy is co-host as usual. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're continuing here our discussion, and we had focused briefly on Stan Friedman, starting with why we never did a roundtable remembrance. There was another person I had asked, by the way. I wasn't aware that Kevin and Stan had disagreed more than about issues that it was more than that. I didn't follow that because I wasn't paying attention. There was another well-known figure in the UFO field who has been on the Paracast a number of times, an old friend of mine, and he said no for a number of reasons that he identified. He would not participate in a roundtable. So that thing never came to be. And let's just leave it at that. I think to Stanton's benefit, he got a lot of people interested in UFOs that might not have otherwise become interested. I think to a heavy extent he was an entertainer, though. And he had all these catchphrases that an advertising executive would find a very good idea. Cosmic Watergate and things like that. And I think if anything else, if you got people interested in the subject, I don't think he was lying to them. I think he may have presented views and information that may have not have been fully vetted in a way I would have vetted them as an old-time journalist. But I think he did more good than bad in that sense. It's not like the Hangar One TV show, which was, of course, something that was supposedly was based on the cases from MUFON, our next subject, and they'd make up their own facts. So it was fake news.
Alternative facts.
Excuse me, alternative facts, that's right.
I'd like to ask both of you just a couple of quick questions on this. Like, Gene, for you, okay, so when it comes to Mosley, okay, so he would say something to the effect of, all right, well, you know, I'm cheaper than Kehoe, so hire me. But then if Friedman goes, well, hey, you know, maybe you should hire me instead of Mosley. I mean, what if this was the press agent doing it instead of Friedman himself? And we know that there's some pretty, let's say, positive press agents out there or who will really, it wouldn't be above them to do something like that on behalf of their client to try and get them a gig.
Well, here we're talking about Jim had an agent representing him and then presenting a roster of speakers. And Jim gets, say, $800, and Major Keogh gets $12. And they'll hire Jim because he's $800, because a lot of educational institutions didn't have the $12. I don't know the fees. Actually, I filled in for Jim a few times, so I did know the fees. It's not important. The key here is that it wasn't to denigrate somebody else. It was to say, this guy is this much, this guy is that much. So we'll give you that alternative and take which one you want. Now, in the case of Stan, it was to denigrate Jim Mosley to maybe get the gig instead of him. So it depends on how you treat the subject. If you offer different speakers or you offer yourself as an option and your main promotion there is this guy is an experienced UFO investigator, but he's cheaper.
Well,
would
sure,
you
I
like
that,
to have that
I mean,
as
agents,
a cheaper alternative?
Agents can be pretty persistent, and it's their job to get their clients their gigs. So if it wasn't Friedman himself, but it was an agent doing this, and this is really common in the business, you know, is it just because Friedman did it himself and not an agent, or do you think that even if an agent does that, it's still just as dirty?
Okay, now. Apparently, this is what Jim said in his letter to Kevin Randall. Several colleges told me that after I was already booked with them, he, being Friedman, would call more than once and plead that they cancel me and put him on instead.
So?
And then, dirty pool, I say. When I finally dropped off the college circuit in 1974, Stan once said to me on the phone, I don't have to think of you as a rival anymore. The key here is, Randall, it's not that you're competing with somebody. It is after the person is booked, you call that college and say, no, don't hire him, hire me.
I don't see a problem with that. They can choose. Okay. I mean, as long as you're not slandering them or saying something
I don't know
about
that,
them
I don't
or
know
untrue idea. Or, you know.
I like just thought it was a bit overbearing. It's a bit overbearing, I thought, and that's it. Any case, all right.
I've done sales, okay? And, you know, there's, you know, you, or as a salesperson, if you're going to sell something, you have got to make a case, and getting people to change their mind is part of the job. You know, so, I mean, it all depends on how you look at it. But I also have a question for Chris. Okay? So, Chris,
yes.
You were saying that Stan stayed at your place in the mid-70s. Now, for me, this would have put me in my, like, teen years. I'm not sure how old you are, but, I mean, you must have been pretty young, right?
I was of legal drinking age at that point.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But let's put it that way.
And, well, how did this happen then? Like, did you invite him, or were your parents into this? Or, you know, what was it like living in the Rutkowski household?
Oh, well, that really opens up a can of things. I actually had Hynek stay at my place, too. And part of it was that I was involved very active in university politics. And, of course, it was the university that had brought both in for speaking engagements. And I think in the case of Stan, I was involved in the arrangements for his flights and whatever, and ended up talking to him. And it may have been something as simple as he was asking about the best hotels and where to, you know, which ones to stay away from and that type of thing. And I may have said something along the lines of, well, you can always stay with me if you want. And he jumped at the opportunity. And maybe that was, and of course I would suspect that he pocketed the amount that they were going to reimburse him for a hotel. So it was, he was cheap. I mean, yeah, you know, he had to cut costs.
Well, yeah. So then how did mom and dad, I mean, by the way.
Oh, no, I was out by then. I was on my own by, there were some tragedies in my family, and I was on my own by the time I was 16.
Oh, wow. So similar to me. I was out working on the railway around then, by then. So what was your first job?
My first job?
Yeah, what were you doing back then?
Yeah, trying to think. What was I doing back then? I think I was working in a bookstore, of all places. That, of course, that opened up all sorts of avenues for me, too. I got to see all the great books on UFOs before anybody else got them.
We're going to do our break now. And Randall is not going to sing I Was Working on the Railroad. By the way, my late father-in-law, Philip, also worked on the railroad. So there you go. Fellow travelers in different years, many different years. More to come with Chris Rutkowski and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As people enjoy the holiday weekend, officials are reminding people to take precautions during the pandemic. Governors are warning people about the risks of not staying safe. Kate Brown is the governor of Oregon.
As we head into the long weekend, I do want to remind Oregonians across the state to make smart choices when it comes to COVID-19.
The number of states reporting rising numbers of new cases went from 8 2 weeks ago to 27. As for a vaccine, White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx.
I know everybody thinks that we're rushing for a vaccine, and we are, because we want to stop infections and we want to stop this ongoing mortality. There is one reason to have a vaccine, and that's so that we can prevent ongoing infections and the mortality that comes from that.
This is USA Radio News. A nonprofit company used by many older Americans is continuing to make record profits. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg explains.
AARP finances its operations by overcharging members for healthcare policies through its billion-dollar relationship with United Health Group. That's according to a new public policy report. Despite its nonprofit status, AARP's profits have been increasing for years, largely due to the organization's practices of marketing its products and services. That's according to a new report published by the public policy think tank American Commitment. AARP reported a profit of $246 million in 2018. The study also found that membership dues were only 18% of AARP's revenue in 2018. 57% of ARP's revenue from 2018 came from royalty fees. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, we just learned, ladies and gentlemen, that J. Randall Murphy has been snorting lemonade.
Yeah, I'm on the hard stuff.
That's as hard as it gets. I haven't had lemonade in a long time. I normally drink just Sandy, which is, by the way, a Coca-Cola product, if people forget. So it's using Atlanta water. I don't know where we started this from. Any case, we were talking about personality issues in the UFO field and differences and such. Of course, Jim Moseley was a collector of personality disputes, even when he made them up, like he had a fake feud with his old friend Gray Barker. They were close friends.
Yeah.
But he created a fake feud, and he said he did that to keep the interest up. When UFO interest was waning, a good hoax, a good feud, always, always.
Is that the same as Hynek and Klass, perhaps?
Well, I would think in that case the feud might have been genuine, but you tell me.
Well, there's stories of the two of them going for drinks together and things like that. I mean, openly they hated each other's guts, certainly. They would always be putting each other down, not only in public, but in media. But there are stories about the two of them at conferences, you know, at least having civil discussions. So there are other aspects probably that we don't know of some people. I mean, when I see a show, whether it's History, Hangar, whatever it is, Hangar One, or any of the other TV shows, and I see somebody paraded out as an expert on a particular case, and I get irked if that person really is not an expert in that case, and I know that person's not an expert on that case, or if the person is spouting a whole bunch of pseudoscience nonsense and stuff that's completely inaccurate and unfounded. I get irked to the point where I say, well, why, for God's sakes, didn't you just interview me about that?
People who have done their homework have certainly been there and enjoy playing the armchair quarterback in those situations for sure, and have seen it plenty of times. And after a while, I think we just get used to it and go, oh, well, I guess this is just the way it is when it comes to media and ufology.
Well, certainly, and the problem is that in ufology, you can't currently, perhaps in the future, but you can't currently get a degree in ufology. There's no academia and board of regents that test your knowledge and test your real intrinsic ability. Anybody can be a ufologist and say that they're a researcher or an expert in UFOs, and you can't really contradict them. They may have different views than you, but at this point, there's no real experts in the field that are the ultimate authority. I mean, at one time, it may have been Alan Hynek, who was the UFO guy, and everybody went to him because he was the one who had been there. He had his chops. He'd put in the hours. He was both, involved in Blue Book and a civilian on the outside, and he was a damn good astronomer and a personable guy who could tell a good tale. Now, have we had people like that with that provenance after that? It's hard to say. And, it was the old argument, who replaces Hynek? Well, for a while, it was Stan, because he did have an academic background. He was a physicist, at least had his master's degree anyways. And, he knew more about physics than most people. So he could say that he had the chops and had been involved in government secrets and so forth, as well as ufology. And after that point, there have been a lot of names tossed around about who is the person in ufology right now. There's no clear front runner right now, and that has certainly been an issue in ufology, that nobody represents ufology to the world the way that Alan Hynek did.
That brings up something, and I'll go past it for a moment just to bring up something. There was a comic no longer with us. He lived like 102. He used to call himself the world's foremost authority.
Yes. Who was that? I can't remember the name.
Professor Irwin Corey.
Ah, yes.
Of course, it was just a shtick.
Yeah.
In show business,
yeah, absolutely.
But that was it. The world's foremost authority. He was a short little guy wearing this outfit, this black suit, and he'd identify himself with a tie that wasn't really tied properly, which reminds me of some other character we don't want to mention. But that was his gimmick. If you look at him without the crazy outfit, just with normally combed hair, he was a normal-looking guy. And he lived to 102. Bless his heart. We're talking here about who is the world's foremost authority. And there was a UFO group, or is, I'd say was, for reasons we'll say in a few moments, that I think wanted to bill itself as the world's foremost authority as a group about UFOs, and that was MUFON. But then we've had these scandals at MUFON lately, like its ex-executive director being accused of being a pedophile. Now, I can't blame MUFON for that. I'm sure they didn't know. But then we had a situation here where his replacement, the previous international director, was somebody who would sponsor mile-high flights, parties, you get the picture. And, of course, we have a connection with Hangar One and MUFON. What's your perception about all this, Chris?
Well, I didn't know Walt Andrus that much. I think we had corresponded once or twice, and that was about it. I had deliberately set my mind to stay away from joining any one particular UFO group. The reason I did that is because I know that there were serious wars between the groups. I mean, if you're a member of APRO, MUFON would not look kindly upon you, and vice versa. Before that, it was NICAP. And both or all of the groups seemed to have their own detractors and their own proponents, and they had good points and bad points. And there, it was very, very competitive. In Canada, we had a number of groups as well that got very, very competitive with one another. And I just thought, you know what? I want to be able to correspond civilly and talk civilly and exchange information with everybody. And that's been my guiding light throughout the entire, you know, path of my ufological career. So I deliberately did not join any one particular group. And to this day, I'm not officially a member of any one particular group, but what I have said to the various administrators of the groups is, you know, I will certainly be a resource. I will assist you. I will, you know, help where I can. Because, of course, unlike the United States, Canada is a little less populated, and there's some provinces in Canada without any representation from any particular UFO group. Because of that, if a case happens in Tuktoyaktuk, in northern Canada, it's not a matter of any one UFO investigator from a regional director or field investigator and so forth can quickly get up there. But, you know, it might be possible to for me to speak with somebody who's a pilot and in my circle of friends to be able to, you know, to get some assistance in that regard. So I'm willing to help out where I can, but I stay on the sidelines in terms of any one particular group. Having said that, I've actually, you know, had some stuff published in the MUFON Journal. Worked with QFOS quite closely, got to be good friends with Mark Roediger and Hynek and his gang and Jerry Clark, and got into the Journal for UFO Studies. And in terms of APRO, the Canadian version called CAPRO, which was just winding down in the 70s when I came on the scene, I did work closely with them as well. So you know, there are some advantages to being unaffiliated and an independent.
Let's do our break here.
Sure.
More to come. Chris Witkowski, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After
after about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor, I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Before we go on with being unaffiliated, as Groucho Marx once said, he would never join a club that would have him as a member.
So true.
You know, of course, we all remember here, or some of you remember, that in 1969, a splinter group spun off from APRO and became the Midwest UFO Network, which eventually became Mutual UFO Network, when somebody woke up and said, why are we calling ourselves Midwest if we're going to be a national organization? I don't think they said that, but that was the impression I got. But that was a splinter group. So much in the UFO field. APRO kind of existed in its own universe. Okay? They didn't call UFOs UFOs or flying saucers. They did use flying saucers or UAOs, unidentified aerial objects, which never became UAPs. It kind of, I think, died with the Lorenzans, right, Chris?
I think so.
Well, Chris, you know, that makes quite a bit of sense, and it explains why a number of years ago when I started USI, the Ufology Society International, I did get in touch with you, and you said, oh yeah, you'd be happy to join. And then I was waiting for the follow-up because we have basically a statement by every member that says that they have a genuine and constructive interest in ufology, and I could never get that from you, and it made me wonder why, and now I think I know why, because you've always come across as so personable and very responsible in the world of ufology, and that's exactly the kind of members we were looking for, but that really explains it. But then there's kind of a downside to that, too. I mean, I started USI because I saw a lot of this friction in the field and thought it would be nice to have something like a more informal network where everyone could do their own thing and not have to be beholden to any particular administration and to bring some level of unity to the field. I tend to think that would be a good thing, too, because when we have everybody working as individuals, then we have all of this territoriality going on. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, I think. You know, I mean, wouldn't you like to see more unity in ufology?
There's no question that that's desirable. In fact, I had the same issue when I created the Canadian UFO Survey. I began in 1989, and I realized that the only way I could actually make it happen would be if I had buy-in from all the UFO groups across the country, so that we could get contributions right across from all the provinces for cases. And to do that, I obviously had to be a bit of a diplomat and try and get people to work together. And I quickly found that there were groups in various parts of the country who did not work together, plain and simple. I guess the worst case example was MUFON in Ontario, where it was so highly strained, they actually formed two groups, MUFON Ontario and Ontario MUFON, and covering the same territory. I mean, it was just that bad. And there were, all sorts of splinter groups across the country from one end to the other, and it was very hard to get everybody to work together. And I actually had some groups refuse to give me cases because this was our data, and we investigated it, and it's ours. We're protecting the witnesses by not giving you data, and I made it very clear I don't want the witness's name and telephone number. I just want to know what was seen and that type of thing. But this was our cases, and you can't have them. So dealing with that, it was very, very difficult, but I did manage to get, I would say, about 80% buy-in from all the groups. And of course, many groups disappeared. I mean, over the course of the more than 30 years of the Canadian UFO survey, some groups appeared and disappeared. Some individuals rose to prominence and then faded completely and have never been heard from again. And the idea is to try and get everybody working together because we're all on the same side. And it's very disheartening to hear, to know that even today, there are some individuals up here in Canada who are promoting themselves as having the best group, and you have to join my group because we're going to be the best group ever, and you really don't want to join that group, or you don't have to give your case to that group, give it to us instead. And I just have little tolerance for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't blame you at all, and I run into similar issues with you as well, particularly with MUFON in getting access to cases. And I mean, I was going to be volunteering my time for them to go through and catalog them and put them into order and make sure that they had the Hynek Valley classification system, the whole thing, just all on my own time. In order for me to just do that for them, they wanted to charge me $10 per case. They wanted to charge me that. And I thought, there's got to be a better way of doing this. But this sort of brings me to, I guess we should talk a little bit about the Canadian UFO survey, because I was wondering if, how much you do with it when you get it. Like, for example, do you take the time to classify the reports as, say, an AN1 or a flyby or a maneuver, close encounter, and so that there is a grading system for the different reports?
Yes, I do, or one of my associates does, because I actually do have, intern is the best name for it, but I do have people who have volunteered to help me enter data, and we do physically, used to before the pandemic, physically get together and review all the cases to see which ones are, have some possible explanations and so forth. I do get the question about the Valet system quite a bit. I didn't use the Valet system, we're not using the Valet system because back when we started doing this in 89, even though it had been, he had actually published it by then, I had been working closely with Alan Hynek since the, mid-70s, as I mentioned, and had adopted the Hynek classification system and had actually been coding cases on key punch cards in the 1970s using the Hynek system, which for me was adequate because...
So just so people know, we started off, this is sort of ufology 101.
Yeah.
So when people decided that they were going to start classifying UFO sightings, this goes back to Hynek, and in his 1974 book, that would have been the UFO Experience, he outlined nocturnal lights, daylight disks, and radar visuals, and then he had the close encounter of the first, second, and third kinds. So you had essentially nine variations of types of sightings that you could classify a sighting report by. Then Vallée came along, started working with Hynek, and expanded on the Hynek system to include more types of sightings, essentially that gave us about 12, 16, 20 different kinds, all the way up to CE5, which Greer conveniently ignored and just sort of, I guess, subverted into his own particular thing. And so you're sticking with the early version then. So basically you've got nine types of sightings then in the Canadian UFO survey.
Actually, we did expand a little bit. We added in nocturnal disks. We were the ones who added nocturnal disks in.
Interesting.
To qualify for a object with structure seen in the nighttime hours to parallel daylight disks and nocturnal lights. And furthermore, we did actually adopt, because we had to, purely photograph cases, where people just simply submit photos. And we did have a few radar visuals, and then into the era of crop circles and whatnot, we did actually incorporate something called unexplained events, so which were UX cases. And in those cases, there were no UFOs are associated. So we did expand a little bit, but it's based on the Hynek system because of history and because of the way that the survey had started out. I was relying on other people to provide information at that point. You know, the cases in Ontario, the cases in Quebec, and so forth. And the amount of information I was getting for each particular case varied considerably. And so I was looking for a lowest common denominator. And in many cases, I was very lucky to get the basics, such as date, time, location, you know, color, that type of thing.
Let's do our break here, Guy.
Sure.
And this time we're going to have you do the salutation, Mr. Kowski. We've got Gene and Chris and Randall and more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.